Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is going to be extra special because I want you to wear two lenses when you pay attention to this. One, you will actually see what it looks like to deliver a training to somebody who has a problem, is looking for a solution. And if you're having any struggles to sales, you can actually mirror what you're going to see from my guest today into how you can actually sell in any kind of online training, in any kind of sales presentation, because you will see that he will be checking all the boxes on how to do this from a place of love. And second, the topic at hand is going to solve one of the key root causes as to why you might be struggling with sales. And I can't wait to see you at the end of the presentation and the transformation you're going to have in this short hour. Enjoy. Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mark Campbell. Very excited to bring an old friend, a guest, someone that's been a pioneer in helping us understand mental health, anxiety, fear, resistance in a very different way than the mainstream. And I think this is going to be critically important for all of you in business who are maybe struggling with sales particularly, is we're going to see what are the things that are coming up as struggle. How do we start navigating this using a different set of tools that might make that resistance fade away and bring much more success on your side? The man that I bring to you today is Daniel Packard. Now, Dan's been a great friend of mine for a long time. We had a chance to meet at Mind Valley events where he had a chance to speak, come to a conference. And he's not only been on the Mind Valley stage, but he's been on so many well-featured podcasts such as Sales Pop, I think Unbroken, Pro Mindset, Meditation Podcast, just to name a few. But what I find is most fascinating about bringing his ideas and his research to all of you listeners is he did over 8 years of research testing with over 3,000 people over five continents about what is the nature of anxiety? Why is it that it holds us back? Why does it plague so many? And what are the ways to navigate it? Challenging very common notions about this and so much more. And I'm so excited to have him come on the show to talk about, well, all the emotions that come up when you go sell, because we do know plenty of that does come up. So it's with my great pleasure that I bring Dan over to the show. Dan, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason Mark Campbell. And I realized there's a little bit of cosmic destiny because I did speak it at A-Fest and the topic was relationships and love. And now I'm on your podcast called Selling with
Love. There you go.
Cosmic destiny, too strong of a word. And I'm glad to be sharing this with your audience because if they're listening to a podcast called Selling with Love, it means they want to create a better world and to sell and lead from a better place. And that all sounds good, but I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders and salespeople, and it's great that they want to sell with love, but there are things that, as you know, and your audience knows, keeps us from that. And we help entrepreneurs and salespeople and leaders sell from a deeper, more freer place by helping them with the funky five. And that's anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, and low confidence. Because if you have anxiety, your heart is closed. You're scared. You can't be afraid and loving simultaneously. It's like you're not supposed to eat and swim at the same time. It's not good. Or procrastination means you're putting things off, which means usually there's anxiety at work. You're not enjoying work as much. Well, if you're not enjoying, how do you sell with love when you don't have joy? People pleasing, putting others first. So sometimes you put yourself second, which makes you resentful, not joyful and loving. But also you don't charge your clients what you should because you want to be liked. And then testify in the back.
Keep going, because I think your people are probably listening to this going like, hey, men raising their hands being like, yep, that's me.
Yes. And the other of the funky five is low confidence. And low confidence is caring what people think, needing people to like you, fear of rejection, fear of failure, those. So your audience already knows kind of what the issue is. They've done their personal development. They've done their spirituality insight. They know what. What I want to be sharing right now is the key breakthroughs that we made over 8 years that give them a simple, effective how, meaning how to be free of these things quickly so you can be happier. And also when you have these things, guess what? You are tired. It is exhausting. People-pleasing, perfectionism, low confidence, and it's exhausting. And if the more tired you are, your cup is not full and you can't love. So I want to share with your audience how to be free of the funky five quickly so their hearts fill with love and they have more overflow to not only love in their business, but also in their family and being a parent. How's that sound?
Sounds like You're hitting the nail on the head. And what I do want to open with is the fact that what you just listed there seems like exactly the typical journey and resistances that someone that's listening to this podcast typically has. And you know what I feel like I'm seeing? You did the research. I'm going to ask you to maybe see what your research found around this statement, which is those who are in a position where they're very anchored to serve first, like they care, they want to make an impact, there's the struggle of sales, and there seems to be an heightened issues with the five you just listed. Like, it's almost like the moment you're like, I'm coming from a right place, you are going to face more of this than the people who just don't care. Have you seen this in your research, or is there a reason why there would be?
Well, that is a very deep insight and 100% true. And I can say this for sure because 4 months ago, I started working with a EMT, emergency medical technician. And these people are people of service, but he was also, he works with firemen and nurses. These people are literally putting themselves on the line to be of service. But he came to me for anxiety and people pleasing. And he said, you know, all I have is tips and tools, but it's not gone. And so he went through our full program. His anxiety is so low that now when he's on the job being of service, he's just much calmer. So he can do high-level jobs at a higher level, but also the people-pleasing. By nature, people of service want people to be happy. But if there's a fear underneath it, you're out of balance. And that service turns to resentment and exhaustion. And so we all know the put the oxygen mask on first. Yay. But then guess what? You don't do it. And then you're resentful and exhausted. So 100% people of service, we love helping because when we help nurses, when we help leaders, when we help entrepreneurs, and they are healthier, they're able to serve at a high level consistently and with longevity.
But it's self-serving. Like I say that not because of an observation in others, but an observation in myself. So people-pleasing, I like that too. I'm very guilty of that. And I know I use it as a strategy because it makes people like me. It makes me feel good about my work. I feel like I'm one of the good guys when I do it. But there's like, that gets to be a toxic trait, even though it seems righteous. It almost seems like you're like self-sacrificing, making yourself a martyr, and now you're not helping anyone because you didn't put your own oxygen. Now you're out of air.
Absolutely. But the key is you already know it. You have awareness around the what. What you don't have is a how to be free of it quickly. And that's what I want to be sharing with your audience, because awareness is great. Insights are great, but you're not free of it. And so in a bit, I'm going to explain sort of why people-pleasing, procrastination, or even just being successful can obviously have a dark side that leads to inefficiencies. And I'll explain to you sort of where that's coming from in a way that makes it solvable quickly. But when I share it with your audience, it's going to sound good, but they're probably going to be skeptical. And I want to share sort of my story and the story of my company, because it'll make a lot more sense why we're getting the results that we get. Is that okay? So my company is Full Liberation Technology, and our passion is results, getting people fast results, meaning in weeks, permanent results, meaning it's gone, and measurable results and backing up our results. We're all about results, and your audience loves results. The reason I care about results is because when I was a kid, my dad was a physicist, and he sat me down and, you know, he said, basically, anybody can have a theory or an idea, but you don't know if it's a good theory. You don't know if it's a good idea. He said, it's the person that gets results. That's the person you want to listen to, and that's the person you should trust. And he said, results matter. And I was 10, but it stuck with me, this idea that results, it matters. Anybody can have an idea. And I was a little inventor, and my dad was generous enough to let me use his workshop. And so I would go and I would invent things at 10, 11, and 12. And it was very satisfying to come up with an idea, and then you design something, and then you get it to work. And when you make something work, that's what actually impacts the world, is results. And so I went to engineering school to be properly trained of how do you look at a complex, seemingly unsolvable problem, break it down into smaller mechanical pieces. Then you have a theory. Then you build a prototype. But then guess what? You test it. Doesn't get good results. So what do? You refine, you calibrate, you iterate until the invention innovates and gets results. And the good news was I had a talent for it, and I was trained to make machines that work. That was great. But I don't know if I missed it. Maybe it was embedded in quantum theory. I don't know, but I was not taught how to make life work. So I could make a robot that played ping pong, but I had anxiety. I had procrastination. I had people pleasing. I had perfectionism. I had low confidence. And I knew it was a problem. I knew it was holding me back. But then I spent 10 years probably $100,000 total on the retreats, on the apps, on the coaches, on the therapists, on the spiritual teachers. I was probably in a cult. I was definitely in a cult. And after 10 years, I just sort of just looked at the results. And I said, you know, I have some tips. I have some awareness. It's better, but it's not gone. I was still insecure. I was still a people pleaser. I was still insecure. I was still anxious. And I wasn't being that person I wanted to be. I wanted to be more loving. I wanted to be more incredible, but this stuff just wasn't gone. And I was kind of depressed. I was sad and I was pissed, honestly. And one day I remember I kind of looked up at the sky to whoever's out there pulling the strings. And I just said, like, what do you want from me? I know this is some test. What's the test? I just spent 10 years, $100,000. Just what's the test? What do you want from me? And I was just being rhetorically pissed off. I didn't expect an answer. But I heard this sort of voice, this download that said the words that my dad told me at 10, which was results matter. And I just had this sad, I wouldn't call it an awakening, but this $1 trillion industry of personal development, spirituality, and psychology. I call it the improvement industrial complex. $1 trillion a year is spent. It doesn't get fast, permanent results. And that's what people want. And because I was trained to get results, I said, well, why don't I try? I know how to invent things. And so I started my research company, Full Liberation Technology, with the mission, could we reverse engineer, keyword engineer, an approach to anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, low confidence, to see if we could develop a system such that in a short period of time, we address the root cause, it's simple, and you're not managing, you are free. That was our mission. And it was not easy. It took, as you said, 8 years, $1 million in research and development. We work with 3,000 people, entrepreneurs in Europe, athletes in the US, monks in India, addicts in South Africa. But we didn't give up because we're engineers and we're tenacious. But after 8 years, we finally developed this program that allows people to be free of the funky five in 6 weeks. And because we care about results, we're very proud to say we have a 90% success rate, meaning anybody that finishes the program, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that you will be free of what you're struggling with in 6 weeks. Why? Because my dad told me that results matter, and they do. People are in pain. People want to live a better life. They don't need another book, another app, another retreat. They need permanent results.
Now, I want to jump this twofold. One is I want to kind of look at it from a meta perspective, is that the energy that you've put in to getting to the root cause of what's going on, to bring the results to the people, to build your business around this idea that results matter, is probably one of the best things that can determine success for somebody going into business as well. I think that there's not enough emphasis on going out there, getting the proof, bringing the results, measuring the results. I mean, you can go and sell something, but are you delivering on the product is a big gap in this industry as a whole. And it sounds like you having the emphasis there is allowing you to build the business on a very strong foundation that a lot of people feel like they're missing. I think one of the big anxieties that come for people getting started is, I don't have the results yet. And what I love about your approach is you said, well, let's go get them. Let's go get the data so we can come out with confidence and be able to sell powerfully, just like you've just presented your business and you went like, oh, I checked the boxes on the fact that you went to do the work. People are looking for the shortcut in business and it doesn't sound like you took the shortcut. You went to do the right thing. So I just want to admire and acknowledge that because I think it's worth acknowledging and admiring.
Thank you. And also, you know, it's just how I'm wired. Innovators and engineers and scientists, you go after something and you don't give up until you get a solution. And that's not typically what's done in personal development. Personal development is usually what I call learner shares. They learn something and then they share it. Great. That's great for tips and tools and awareness, but it won't innovate. It takes a lot of work. And I just happen to be wired. Most of the innovators are on the outside. And that's where we have all this physical technology and innovation. All this incredible stuff. We have a helicopter on Mars, Jason. A helicopter on Mars. But the innovative engineers are focused on the outer world. So all the innovations on the outer world, I just happen to be an engineer that focused on the inner world. And that's why we've innovated. And the results, it's so important. And sometimes people say, wow, you're really confident in your product. I'm like, it's not confidence. We have the data. We track people. But also, we back up our results. When people work with us, we do not charge them at the beginning. because we haven't gotten you a result. Results matter to us, and we're not taking your money. We charge at the end when you have clear, measurable data that what you're struggling with is gone and not coming back. And when people hear that, they go, wait, you do what? Nobody does that in this industry. And I go, I know. They don't care about results. They don't measure results. They don't track results. When they don't get your results, they still take your money. And I wish it wasn't so rare, but I'm telling you, unless you're getting people results, how much are you really helping them? Anyway, sorry. I'm not sorry. This is important.
No. Don't be sorry about that. It's so funny because I had a gentleman on my podcast, God, it was a couple of years ago, Alex Hormozi, and he kind of threw a wrench at people's face in a gentle, loving way. And he said, most people like to point at, oh, I'm just bad at sales. That's why I don't have success. But no, the reality was their product sucks. People haven't taken the time to do the work that is necessary to have a functional product. And I don't think you should apologize for what you just said, because it looks like you've put in the work. And look, like, you're feeling underconfident. You're feeling like you can't, you know, tell somebody this is the greatest product and the best decision for your life, because we don't have the data. And, you know, my methodology around selling with love starts with love the impact. And if you don't know what impact your product does, it's very hard to be a passionate salesperson. You have to manipulate and become Delulu for yourself. And you're putting all of that debt on the buyer of potentially maybe working. And that doesn't come across as confident unless you actually know what can work for specific people. So I'd love to, I don't know if this would be in your realm, but I'd be curious to know, when you talk about the yucky five here, how much of it is because of under preparation versus a fundamental techniques you need to use to address those root causes, because there's not really a source?
Well, every time I share information, I want to share it through the filter of one thing, giving your audience a different, more effective understanding, because there's a lot of half-truths, misinformation, incomplete information on why we struggle. And if there's one thing I discovered in 8 years, was a simple understanding. And when people have this simple understanding, it helps them understand it's not their fault that they haven't been able to change faster, and also gives them hope. So I want to let me explain to you the root cause of these symptoms, and then I think your question will be answered. So the first reason we're able to get these innovative results is because we approach this as engineers. It's a very different way of approaching, and we wanted to solve it. And when you solve something, you approach it differently when you just want to learn something and share it and collect some money. So the first thing we noticed was personal development, spirituality, and psychology has well-intentioned people, but have you noticed that for the most part, it's confusing? There's just so many theories on it's the ego, it's the past, it's your mindset, it's the synaptic pathways. You should do an ice bucket challenge. No, you should walk on fire. Awaken the giant from within. Oh, quiet your ego. Scarcity mind thinking, abundance thinking, vision. It's like, oh, okay, what do I do? What, when? It's not clear. And then people are confused, they don't get results, and they beat themselves up. So I said, let's first make it simple. If you understand something simple, that's an innovation. Newton looks at all of motion on the planet, gets it down to 3 laws. That's impressive. Einstein looks at this whole thing of the speed of light and quantum theory, gets it down to E equals MC squared. It takes a high level of thinking to simplify. So I said, first, let's simplify. And the first big breakthrough that we had that allowed us to solve this, and I want your audience to do this, so we're going to do an inner mechanics lesson, is to share with your audience an important perspective. We are taught, and it feels like, we have multiple problems. We're told, I have anxiety. I am a people pleaser. I have perfectionism. I have low self-esteem. Like, you caught it. Like, it's cooties. Like, you're infected with it. So you are taught, and it feels like we have multiple problems. You do not have multiple problems. What you have is multiple symptoms of one singular thing, which is fear. Let me say that again. You do not have multiple problems. You have multiple symptoms of one thing, which is fear. You could say you have anxiety, or you could say you have a lot of fear, and you call that high level of fear anxiety. You could say you are a people pleaser, or you could say you have a fear people won't like you, so you make sure they're happy. You could say you're a perfectionist, or you could say you're afraid to make a mistake. You could say you're a procrastinator, or you could say you have a fear of starting and finishing things. And you could say you have low confidence, or you could say you have a fear of being your natural, true, authentic self. So can you see that it would simplify things to say that what you're experiencing right now are not problems, but symptoms of fear? Fear is the root cause, and that simplifies things. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah. So are you a people pleaser? Jason Mark Campbell, or do you have a fear that maybe people won't like you?
Yeah, a fear of disappointing others.
Yeah. Now, it's easy to answer that, but why does it matter? Because fear is the root cause. And if you're not in the root cause, where are you? At the symptom level. So you're paying coaches and therapists and spiritual teachers, and you're at the symptom level, so you'll never solve it. You'll always be stuck on this hamster wheel, always going to retreats and apps and books and never be free of it, then blaming yourself and thinking you have to live like this forever. No. People say, how do you get this 90% success rate? How do you back up your results? I don't know. We go to the actual root cause, which is fear. Now, I'm going to explain where the fear is coming from so you can be free of the fear. But first, what do you think about what I'm sharing?
Well, first off, I think there's a sort of liberation that comes from understanding that you can actually focus on the one root. And if you work on that, it starts improving everything that might come up in some sort of percentage. So, oh, I have a little bit of people pleasing, but I have a lot of procrastination. Now I feel like I have a to-do list that I just get overwhelmed. Now it's like, oh, I have a one-itis list. And so maybe if I start working on that, then it just slowly brings down the charge around everything else and I can see improvements in my life.
Incredibly articulately well said. I had a manager from Google. He came, he was struggling with a lot of procrastination. And he said, look, man, I've had this my whole life. Like, I don't think you can get rid of it in 6 weeks. He said, but I met somebody at a conference and they swore by it and it's no risk to try. And I said, well, we're going to address the fear. And he said, great. And I got a message from him. It was about 4 weeks in. His name was Al. He was from Seattle. And he said, not only is my productivity up, because again, we track the procrastination with different emotional biomarkers. His productivity was up from about 1 hour up to 5 hours. His focus time went from about 10 minutes up to 50 minutes. And the time it took him to get started went from 2 hours down to about 15 minutes. And he said, so my procrastination is practically gone. He said, but because I'm not afraid, I'm just much calmer at work. The anxiety's down. I'm happier. I'm more fulfilled. I'm a more open-hearted husband and father because we address the root cause, all these other areas. And because what we do is systematic and mechanical, he said, this will just be so good for the Google employees because a lot of people struggle, but they don't have a simple way. So we're trying to get our pilot program at Google. But 100%, when you address the fear underneath it all the symptoms get better.
I'll present the counter argument so that we get a perspective here, which is, well, there's a part of me that also says, seems oversimplified. Could I be missing a nuance?
So it seems oversimplified because we're used to confusing. And actually, when you're used to confusing, your ego thinks that the solution has to be complicated and actually will reject simple. In the 1850s, there was this nurse, Florence Nightingale, who noticed that more soldiers were dying in recovery than on the battlefield. And all the doctors and generals just said, look, this is part of war. This is don't even bother. And she said, well, can we like work on this? I don't think she said that. She's probably said it in a much more posh way. But because she wasn't an expert and she just wanted to solve it, she found out that really, if you just change the bandages, open the windows and move the soldiers away from the toilets, the death rate dropped by 99%. Really simple. Took 30 years for that to catch on. The guy who figured out that you wash your hands, the Ignaz Semmelweis, he was the Croatian doctor who figured out that all these women were dying in childbirth because doctors weren't washing their hands. He said, wash their hands. The death rate of women completely collapsed. And he was a doctor and told all these doctors, wash your hands. It still took, I think, 40 years to catch on. People reject simple. But here's what I'll say. When you're used to complicated, you can't fully trust simple until you've experienced it. But here's what I can tell your audience. We back up our results. So you can be skeptical about what I'm saying and still try, but you have to ask yourself, the only way we're able to back up our results like this is if we're getting results. So if you're like saying, it can't be simple, I'm like, all right, well, we have a whole business model based on it. So that's what I'll say to that. Now, the other reason, let me explain another simplicity that'll help it make more sense that this is simple. We saw that fear was the root cause. But instead of managing the fear or overcoming the fear or facing the fear or changing mindset around the fear, we said, what if we could just get rid of the fear? And so the first thing is we looked at the prevailing legacy thinking that was out there. And what we were told and what everyone's told is usually that fear is a problem of the mind. We're told change your scarcity thinking, your negative mindset, you're catastrophizing, quiet the ego, it's false evidence appearing real, the problem is between your two ears. It's called mental health. It's got the word mental right in there. So everybody thinks that fear is a result of the mind. There's one problem. With that approach, you're getting bad results. Anxiety's on the rise, addiction's on the rise, depression's on the rise. So we just said the mind theory is not getting good results. And because we were outsiders, we just said, well, maybe it's not the mind. And once we asked the right questions, we realized fear is not a problem of the mind. Fear, the root cause of fear, the actual location of fear is not the mind, but the body. When you feel anxiety, do you say, I think anxious or I feel anxious?
Feel anxious and I can usually localize.
Do you say, I think fear or I feel fear?
I feel fear.
Chest, heart, throat, stomach, that's where you feel it. Does that sound like mind words or body words?
Definitely body words.
Definitely body words. But yet we're sent to the mind. The mind is part of it, but the mind is a symptom of the body because that's the way we are mechanically wired. We are mechanically wired where the body feels what the body needs to stay alive, and then the mind senses the feeling, and then it kicks in to try and solve the problem. You feel hunger in the body first. The mind senses the hunger and then tries to figure out food. If you're out in the jungle and you hear something in the bushes, you feel fear in the body first. The mind senses the fear, and then the mind says, okay, we got to figure this out. So for reasons which I'll explain, there's a reason that we feel fear, low levels of fear all the time. Then the mind senses that fear in the body and then goes, uh-oh, there's a problem. Your business, it's you, you suck, and starts to fabricate problems to match the fear in the body. Have you ever noticed that when you feel calmer in the body, usually the mind is quieter? And when you feel more fear and anxiety, usually then the mind starts to amp up. Have you noticed that?
Yep. You could even go into thinking of if you had a bad night's sleep, if you're not rested, if you've slept bad or you have a pain, it's very hard to be mindful at the same time. So like on a very visceral level, I can even witness that.
Yep. Now, if you think about it, it just makes sense. Body first, mind is a symptom of the body. The problem is we're not taught that. We're told it's a problem of the mind. And it's not. And that's why people spend years trying to quiet their mind and changing their scarcity thinking and changing their ego, and they can't do it. So I'm here to tell your audience, if you've spent years trying to lower these symptoms through your mind, there's no way you could have done it. It's not your fault. It's the fault of the well-intentioned experts that were misguided and sent you to the literal wrong location. When you say, wow, it sounds kind of simple. The way we're doing this is to actually go from the wrong location to the right location. Can you see that we're going to get a lot better results without any witchcraft?
Yes. And I do have to add one thing here, which is the closest I've ever heard. When you're speaking of this, you know what I'm reminded of is the Vipassana experience, like going towards a meditation retreat, which that was all about scanning the body and seeing where there were like chunks of stuff that was stuck in. Putting your attention to the body and having a large emphasis. But this is like ancient, you know, Buddhist teachings type of concept. So is there a lot of overlap with this, or is there something we've identified from there?
Well, yes and no. What's the overlap is that they're looking in the right place. And there are other people that know this is more body focused. There are people, there's a famous book called The Body Keeps the Score. There's this addiction specialist, Gabor Mate. There are other people in somatic therapy that understand it's the body. That's not a huge breakthrough. Unfortunately, it's more rare than you'd think. The breakthrough that we had is that it's a system to fully heal the fear. If you go to Vipassana, you're in the body. That's helpful. You're in the right place. It doesn't solve anything. You can even do a breathing exercise, which will calm you down and calm the mind down, but it's temporary. What we did is the right location and a system so that the fear is gone and the symptoms of anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, and low confidence go away. That's the real innovation. The location put us in the right location, but the innovation is the system with all the tools in one place and easy to follow instructions so that 20 minutes a day with a set of exercises, the fear goes down and stays down and it's permanent. That's different. That's the innovation. That's what took 8 years. Now, I know that this stuff originates in the body, but you, Jason, I sent you a 90-minute training that we developed called From Stuck to Unstoppable. And it's not the same as our full 6-week program, but it's sort of a crash course in what we teach to give you an experience and do a deep dive with these materials. And I'm saying that anxiety and fear is more in the body. When you did that training, what was your experience?
Well, for me going through that, I basically got a lot of knowledge from it, right? Because I was actually in a space where I wanted to get more familiar with the knowledge. And I saw that what you were teaching was things that would actually make you first realize you have to look in the right location. Obviously, we're looking at symptoms most of the time, not the root cause. But when you start actually going towards those, we start actually bringing down ourselves to a baseline that is below what we've been experiencing on a daily basis. We've normalized our baseline fear. And now it's just having a bunch of stuff pop up all the time. So those were my key takeaways from it. And I have to say, the time that I did go through it was at a relatively peaceful time. So I set some time aside, I was listening in. And so I didn't feel like I was coming into a crisis. But I'm wondering, for anybody who's listening, who might be in a heightened state of crisis, this seems like the right space to go into and the right training to start with, so that you can actually get some instant, call it a sip in an oasis after you're stuck in the desert.
Ooh, an oasis after the desert. So yes, for anybody in crisis, it's very valuable, but really it's just everything I'm teaching you right now and your audience, it allows them to experience this firsthand. And I'm going to send your audience to my website, danielpacker.com, to get the training that you listen to. I want to give that to them for free. And what you're going to get out of it is, again, your own experience to really feel that what I'm saying is true for you. And then at the end of the 90-minute training, there's one of the techniques that we teach. And when you apply it to your body, a fear or an anxiety that you had will feel much less scary. I had a gentleman last week, and he said, I did the 90 minutes. And he said, from that 1 5-minute technique at the end, he said, I haven't felt a level of calm like that since I was a kid. And again, I'm going to send your audience to get it, because I want them to have a result. Results matter. I want them to really feel this for themselves instead of just taking my word for it.
You know, what's interesting is I'm just thinking back now that I actually did that a week ago. And so I don't remember the specifics, but what I can tell you is I've noticed that my last week has been a very chill week. I've been accomplishing a lot of tasks. I've been feeling very focused, less taggered, and it's almost subconsciously things have shifted. And it's only as you're pointing it out right now that I'm going back and thinking about my week. I was like, well, this was a very productive week after a very chaotic quarter. At the moment I was listening, I felt like things were much more calm, but now I'm actually paying attention to what happened in the last week. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. Something shifted there. And yeah, I know we talked before this training that we'd make sure that everybody who listens to this and is feeling like they'd like to work on this fear themselves, that they get access to that training. So we're going to put a link into the show notes so you guys can go and experience this. Because if everything that's been shared on this episode so far has struck any kind of nerve and you're like, I might want to actually work on this, we don't want to leave you high and dry. We want to make sure you got something that will actually shift you in the direction of working on this, solving this. And I think what Daniel's been doing is fantastic. So yes, in the show notes, check it out. We'll direct you guys right towards it so you can have the same thing.
Yeah. And what you said just gave me chills, because you just did a 5-minute technique that we taught. It's not the same as a 6-week program, but one technique for 5 minutes, you do it. And then what do you say? Oh, wow. Huh. That's kind of calmer. Efficient results. It just effing works. Why? We're not a magician. You go to the actual right location, you get way better results. And I want to share with your audience one more perspective that will help this make much more sense, and why simple is possible, that these patterns that we have, it's not complicated. Can I explain one more thing that'll help this make sense?
Please.
So when we tell people that we're solving things, it's hard for them to wrap their heads around it when they've had these patterns their whole life. And when I explain to people the inner mechanics of where the fear is coming from, it gives people hope when they go, oh my God, that is so simple. How did I not see that? So here's the simple location of where the fear is coming from that nobody's going to tell you. And it's so simple, you're probably going to be irritated the therapist didn't tell you that sooner. Okay. So again, we're in the body and we're trying to figure out where the fear is coming from. We're engineers. Now, the reason the body is a good place to look is because the mind is complicated. Nobody understands the mind. There's all these million bazillion, that's the Latin phrase, million bazillion synaptic pathways and neurons. But the body is pretty simple in some ways. It's systems. It's mechanical. The skeleton, mechanical. Your heart, mechanical. Your eyes, it's all mechanical systems. So we were engineers. We said, wait a minute. If there's a system in the body that's maybe creating the fear and we can like repair it, then the fear goes away. So we just went looking for the system, we found it, and it's so obvious and simple, your audience already knows it on some level. Okay, so what we did is we took out the word fear and anxiety, and we said, let's just go with the word nervous. Everybody's experiencing different versions and symptoms of the word nervous. Anxious people are just very nervous. Insecure people are kind of nervous. Let's just use the word nervous. Okay, so we found a system in the body that's making everybody nervous. And your audience, and you probably already know what it is when I ask you this question, okay? Pop quiz to you, Jason, and your audience. If you had to guess, what system in the body is most likely malfunctioning and making everybody nervous? Do you think it is A, the skeletal system, B, the endocrine system, or C, the nervous system. What do you think, Jason Mark Campbell?
Oh, I don't know. I'll go with C, final answer.
You are correct. Gold star is to you, Jason, and your audience. Yes. And you're smiling, and I'm guessing, was that answer complicated or simple?
Simple, but I was going to go a different direction, and I need you to correct me on this. I was almost ready to answer digestive, because when I'm nervous, I feel like my stomach gets crampy.
Well, it's an interesting point. There are things in the world that can create fear and nervousness. However, it's not why we're so afraid and so nervous. It can make your nervous system that's already fragile and activated. It's kind of like saying, I need a root canal and my teeth are really fragile. And when I bite into a carrot, I feel this pain. Isn't the carrot causing the pain? No, the carrot is just a stimulus and a pressure. But if your teeth are fragile, that's where it's coming from, is the fragile system. So here's at the root level. Your nervous system is your body's natural threat response system. If you have a healthy nervous system, you feel a very beautiful and important word called safe. If your nervous system hasn't been taken care of, because nobody ever taught you how, it's basically fragile, and what you feel is unsafe. If you feel unsafe, it then gives rise to nervousness, fear, and worry, and then the symptoms of nervousness, fear, and worry, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, low confidence, and anxiety. So in reality, most of what people are experiencing is this deep unsafety from within, not because you're broken, not because you're trapped, not because your dad yelled at you at the kitchen table. It's because we were never taught to take care of the nervous system. And so like a tooth, it's in a fragile state, and we have this low-level feeling of unsafety all the time. The bad news is, the reason it's this way is because we were never taught to take care of our nervous system. We were taught to get enough sleep. We were taught to brush and floss. We're taught the food pyramid. You're a runner. You're taught exercise and how to take care of your body. And if you know how to take care of certain systems, they run pretty well. But I'm asking your audience and you, Jason, did anybody ever sit you down at a young age and say, here's the daily hygiene of the nervous system. Here's how you take care of it.
It's completely ignored.
Yep. So you were never taught to take care of this system. Over time, it's going to fall into disrepair. And now you feel unsafe from within. That's the root cause of all this fear, worry, is this just deep feeling of unsafety from within that then shows up as anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, ADHD. We had a client go through Parkinson's. His Parkinson's went down by about 50%. People, if you feel unsafe, think how many problems show up in your life. Now, the downside is everybody's missing this. There's 28 things that we need to do every day to take care of our nervous system. And the average person only knows of 4 and really only does 3, which means 25 a day you're missing. And until people learn to take care of their nervous system, which we show them in our program, you're always going to feel a bit unsafe. That's going to show up as anxiety, procrastination, people-pleasing, perfectionism, low confidence. It's going to affect your ability to be better in relationships. It's going to affect your ability to be authentic. You cannot operate at full potential when you feel unsafe. You can't. So the downside is, until you learn to bring your nervous system back to health, you'll always have low levels of safety. But here's the good news. And you're into fitness, Jason, so you'll appreciate it. If the problem is simply a result of not taking care of a system a little bit every day, the bad news is the system will fall into disrepair. But if we want a fast, quick, reliable solution, why is it good news to find out that the problem is just a symptom of not taking care of it every day? Why is that actually a good news?
Because you can have a prescription to take care of it.
Exactly. And not even a prescription. Just flip from non-health to health. If you neglect your diet, guess what? You gain weight. That's a real mechanical result. That's not false fat appearing real. That's not a fatty mindset. That's actual fat that's a mechanical result of you not taking care of your diet. Okay, so if you want to lose weight, do you need to change your mindset? Do you need to vision board with a six-pack? Do you need to go to Vipassana? No. You just go from little acts of poor dietary health to little acts of good dietary health. There's a mechanism in the body that burns the fat, and the fat goes away. So in 6 weeks, we teach you all the tools and the simple, easy to follow instructions so that in 20 minutes a day, you bring your nervous system back to health. When your nervous system is back to health, you get to feel a feeling that I feel every day, our clients feel every day, but tell me the value. The feeling you get to feel at the end of 6 weeks is a permanent default state of safety. I'm asking your audience and you, Jason, how would your life be better as a leader, an entrepreneur, a partner, a parent, a salesperson, if you woke up every morning where your default was just to feel safe from the inside out? How would your life be better?
It would be the biggest game changer for people to actually achieve what they want.
Why?
You're fully taking your foot off the brake. You're taking away the resistance. You're taking everything that's holding you back. The amount of energy it takes to move forward is triple fold because you're slamming the brake the whole time. And then not only that, you're wearing out the brake pads. I don't know if everybody's into car references, but I think that visualizes it pretty well.
You're 100% right. So much energy gets put into managing the anxiety, the procrastination, the low confidence, the stuff we're managing. It takes a lot of energy to manage. And also it's exhausting. The stuff takes energy. It takes energy to be afraid and to worry and to doubt and to be a perfectionist. So if we just bring your system back to health, it's the way you were meant to operate. And then all that energy that went towards management just goes towards your full potential. You can see all this energy in me. This is not cocaine. This is the direct result of feeling very safe. And when I feel very safe, my heart is open. I am fulfilled. I am joyful. I can't procrastinate if I try. I, 10 years ago, was hiding in my house in the fetal position with anxiety, PTSD, perfectionism, and low confidence. And I'm sitting here now on a cellular level. I cannot care what a person thinks of me. It doesn't even occur to me. I can't procrastinate if I tried. I can feel stressed for like 4 minutes, no anxiety. And from that place, I feel safe. My heart is open. I can sell with love. I communicate with love. I have relationships with love. And the best part is it's permanent. It's a default. I don't have to keep doing things every day. And so again, to your audience, you were never taught this. You were taught to manage the symptoms. And that's partly why you're kind of tired, partly why you feel stuck in these patterns, is because the experts, while well-intentioned, didn't address the root cause in a simple way. You couldn't solve it. And then you think you're trapped and broken, not a good spiritual student. No. If you go to the root cause in a mechanical, simple, easy to solve way, you can be free of it. It's not just an opinion. It's how I feel every day. But every morning I wake up and I look at our database where our clients are reporting their data and we can see how they're doing. And every morning I have numerical data that people, I had a client this morning, she was an architect, horrible anxiety and horrible perfectionism, just crippled her. And this morning she, not only data-wise, we saw that it was almost gone, but she said that she gave a talk the other day and she forgot her lines. And she said in the past, she would have just frozen and felt horrible and then beat herself up for probably 2 or 3 weeks, exhausting her. And she said, I made a mistake. I didn't care. I just kept going. And not only did I not stop myself, but everybody said that was the best talk I ever gave. Why? Because her fear was gone and she could just communicate from her natural, authentic self. That's the power of results.
Daniel, this has been twofold of a session. One is I think you've actually been able to give something that is quite tangible, actionable, and groundbreaking for the audience who are feeling this, want to solve this. And I think for the majority of my listeners, this hits the nail on the head. And I want to encourage everyone to go to the link we're putting in the show notes where you're going to go through this 90-minute exercise and you will get some results instantly. And I want you all to go check that out, register, set it up, and you will be guided. And I think from what you've heard today, you can see that you are going to be getting some results, finding solutions. If you've been looking for some, they're all right there. So please do that. And I know for me, I'm going to look into ways that I can apply this every time I see anxiety rang up. I'm going to look into how I can use this 5 minute at the end to bring me back to baseline and truly paying attention to this, because this is going to be the panacea for a lot of the problems we face in business and sales and in just life general. The second thing I want to touch base on is what you've witnessed in this conversation is also what I would say as close to a perfect masterclass on how to deliver a masterclass. And this is where I want to step a little on the meta side, which is you've witnessed what happens when you sell with love. You can see how Daniel cares about the impact. He loves the impact of his work. And you can see that in the way that he talks about the results of the people, the difference it makes in the clients, the difference it makes in the world, and how it actually even brings a difference in his own life. Loving the impact is very clear with Daniel here, and you've seen it in this presentation. You can see how he's passionate, excited, and wanting to bring results to the clients that he works with. He loves these clients, and you can see it in the way that he presents, bringing up their stories, understanding what is their root. He took so much time to understand the root cause of the pain for the majority. He went to do the research, cared about knowing them, understanding them, so he can communicate with the right language so they understand that what he's doing is going to be life-changing for them. And he's built the product that brings the results, results, results. You've heard him say it so many times, even with data to back it. And he's created the offer for his 6-week training that is perfect to getting people to actually find the results they're looking for from the pain that he understood that they have and bring it to a permanent solution. And he's even loves the process. And here's where I really want to emphasize this without any hesitation. Daniel goes out on platforms and gets to share this story, gets people to experience a 90-minute of results in advance, which is beautiful. You're going to get results before you have to pay anything. And I know some of you are going to go through the 6-week journey, and I'm excited for you to go through the 6-week journey because you will get the results. And to me, that is all possible because he's got the core love, which is the self-love that he's worked on himself. He's brought himself to the space where he can communicate this way. And look, this is not about ninja sales technique. This is just about becoming so clear about the difference you make to who you make it. You build something that actually brings those results using the mechanisms necessary to bring those results. And I want to put the question out to every listener here is how many of you can have that level of confidence when you sell your products? Because I guarantee you, when you get this level of confidence, it comes from competence, it comes from results, it comes from pursuing what is the data or the missing thing in my business that I need to find right now that will get me one notch of more confidence, one notch more knowing that I bring results. Because the moment you get to that point, you can sell with love in a powerful way. Daniel, this was brilliant. Thank you for not only giving us the masterclass on how to deliver a masterclass, but to do it on a topic that I think is one of the most relevant, which I think this is making it one of the most powerful episodes on the show. So thank you so much for your time.
It was my honor. Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Percent of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.